C1 AP. Number 12 B.
We come to the next tone of soul, and that is taking up nearly 3 pages, and it's about the dragon. But that whole story, I don't think we need to take them sentence by sentence, so we are not going to read it out, but I'm going to recapitulate it in my own words. It is that point where perhaps I only read the biblical text, Revelation chapter 12, 3, and on the other page, verse 4. It is, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Another wonder. What kind of a wonder can there be? And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So this is a wonder in heaven when the dragon appears, when evil appears. Huh? It's actually a wonder. Why is it a wonder? Because we say, well, if I'm woman, and if I go out from the divine principle, and if I'm woman, and therefore only contemplate the divine idea, and only the divine idea is being born and can come forth, why on earth is it possible that there is something contrary? Why is there an enemy? Why is there a serpent? Why is there a Satan? Where is there evil? Why is there a dragon? Why? This is a wonder. This is what every student wonders when he begins to understand or to hear about Christian Science and says, oh, that's wonderful. God is all and evil is nothing. So if I can see that God is all, then I will never encounter evil. And the next thing he encounters is evil. So he says, he can't give an answer to it. So for him, it's a wonder. He wonders why this should be so, why it can be so. And so the Revelator shows us there comes a great red dragon. And not only that, that has 7 heads, and 1 head is not enough. Has 7 heads. Well, the counterfeit of the 7 synonymous terms. Eh? And he has 10 horns, not just 1 or 2. That's just 10. 10 horns. A horn is always a sense of power, of demonstration, a sense that evil has power to demonstrate itself, to prove itself. And then it has even 7 crowns upon his head, meaning that those 7 counterfeits of the 7 synonymous term are uncrowned in the world. And they say, yes, that's really, you know, mortal mind is really true. Yes, matter is real. Yes, sin is something that can happen. Yes, there are the counterfeit of principle. There are those wonderful sciences all over the world, and they are really the pinnacle of everything. So there is the evil is crowned in the world. So that's the proposition. And just if we read the next verse, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. We have here again the third part of saying the false sense of it. So the dragon's tail cast the false sense of himself to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is naturally what everyone in the religious history, not only in the religious history, in the history of every science witnesses. At the moment he begins to see something new, he really arouses the opposition. And then he gets all the criticism he can have, and he gets all the enmity that is possible, he gets all the opposition, and hell is let loose. The great red dragon comes along. And that's a wonder, because we say, well, I have been now in the summer school, and I've heard all those wonderful things, and I felt like in heaven, and it was so wonderful, and when I came home, hell was let loose. Huh? You enter the house, and here it starts already. So there is no wonder. There is a law behind it. And this law has to be seen, namely, that woman must see that the idea which she brings forth, that the idea of science can never be touched by anything, that can never be endangered by anything, that an idea that is of God cannot be swallowed up by any kind of evil, by any attack of evil. The attacks will come humanly, but what we must see is that nothing can touch that idea, that the idea is of the nature of soul, in the nature of safety, that it is untouchable, unchangeable, and therefore it will always have the identity of what it is. Mrs. Eddy explains that over more than two pages, and I just want to recapitulate the main ideas that she brings out. She starts out with that wonder, and there appeared another wonder, and she defines that wonder. She says, yes, to the human sense may well marvel. For the human sense, it's a marvel, it's a wonder. We may well be... To the human sense may well marvel at discord, just as we said. May well be astonished. That's another way of bringing out the marvel at sin, sickness, and death. In another way, she says, may well be perplexed at human fear, or astounded at hatred. Can you see, in four ways she brings out, or in four terms she brings out that wonder. We wonder why evil arises. So we are astonished about it, we are perplexed about it, we are astounded about it, and then she answered this and says, but why should we stand aghast at nothingness? And you see that all those things that she enumerated, like discord, sin, sickness, and death, human fear, human hatred, she said, why they come up, but why should you stand aghast at nothingness? So she reduces all those forms of evil to the point of nothingness. Do you see that? The woman, is that which only can see the true idea. And therefore, second, is that which can see that whatever is not that true idea is not, is nothing. So the woman must do two things, and we will see afterwards that that is the point of Christianity. We are here in the Christianity order. That Christianity and the Christianity order is at that point where we are able to, to trace all good back to principle. And second, that is that where we can trace all evil back to animal magnetism, to the dragon, to nothingness. So the woman must be able to do both things. They are complementary. Instead of standing aghast at discord, the woman says, I'm not standing aghast at discord. Why should I stand aghast at discord if discord is a nothingness? Are we afraid of a nothing? We are only afraid of a something. So the woman is that which can make of evil, telling that it is a something, make out of that something a nothing. And that goes on only in one's own consciousness. Evil is not something per se. It's something that we make in our consciousness. Therefore, it should be one of the easiest things that we should make is to see that all forms of evil that approach us are not person, place, or thing, but they are a nothing, a no thing, a no person, a no place, a no thing, a nothing. The woman does that. The man fights it. The male aspect will fight those error, that discord. The woman can trace it back to nothing, to animal magnetism first, and see that animal magnetism is a no thing, a nothing. So we learn here a further aspect of womanhood, from the point of view of soul, that meets opposition, that meets discord, but makes it a nothing, instead of a something to be fought. So that's how she starts out, and then depicts really the various form of animal magnetism, of the serpentine form, of the red dragon, and then gives the whole list of what it stands for, like it stands for subtlety, for doing evil in the name of good, that it is an animal instinct in mortal that incites mortals to kill morally and physically. It's the highest degree of human depravity, and what else? A malicious animal instinct, a criminal instinct. Can you see? She just depicts animal magnetism in its highest form in order to say, but actually, why do you stand the gods at nothingness? It's up to you, to the woman, to make nothing of it. It's not the situation that has to change, it is your consciousness, your attitude that has to change. Wouldn't it be easy? Actually, I always find it's absolutely easy. It's actually a question of experience and training and training. When one is young, one takes all the opposition very serious, one takes all the forms of evil very serious and say, God, here it comes again. What am I going to do with it? Will I fight it? Will I be able to fight it? Will I be victorious? What shall I do to fight it? But the moment one begins to see more and more about woman, one just doesn't anymore. One just hears these things and witnesses these things, and see its nothingness, instead of its somethingness. It's something that is only in our consciousness. There is no evil outside of our consciousness. It's only within our consciousness. We say that so easily, but it's a practice of it that perhaps make it a constant capacity to do good, and not to be too much impressed by all what's going on. But that doesn't make us blind to error, not at all, but it gives a substitution for error, namely the operation of the divine principle, which always says, I have 12 stars in my crown, and those ideas work constantly for principle. They work and work and work, and therefore you begin to be very active in your consciousness, and therefore it isn't so that we put our head into the sand. Then she explains that actually what that dragon is, in all its subtlety, in all its various subtle forms, she says, well, it's actually, and this is important to see, that it is actually not attacking you, but it's attacking the idea. That it will charge the spiritual idea with errors, own nature and method. It's always an attack to the idea, not to the person. He says that the spiritual idea was arraigned before the tribunal of so-called mortal mind. Can you see? She doesn't say that we as a person are attacked. She says it's a spiritual idea. And this should help us enormously, that when these things appear and these things happen, that we don't take it personal, that it is directed to our person, but that we have that love for the idea, that motherhood sense for the idea, and say, oh, they only want to attack the idea, but we can be a mother to it. We are going to hold up that idea and embrace that idea and hug that idea and hold that idea firm in our hand and protect it and see the beauty of it and the strength of that idea. That idea can defend itself, that idea cannot be touched, that idea can speak for itself, and it will speak for itself, that idea itself will defend itself, that idea itself will prove itself, and we just build up a wonderful sense of the motherhood of God for the idea, that the idea has within itself everything that is necessary to demonstrate itself. Then we free it from a personal attack. Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. There was no cause in Jesus that he would be hated, but the idea was hated. The attack was against the idea for which Jesus stood. So the dragon is perpetually close upon the heel of harmony. You can see that over and over and over. The more we see about the idea, the more tangible the idea becomes to you, the more you may experience that the serpent is right on your heel, wants right to bite you and say you are no good and you are on the wrong track and you don't see things rightly and you should do this and you should do that and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. It's constantly an attack on the idea. So see that it is an attack on the idea and you lose your responsibility for it. It is inflamed with war against spirituality. See, it's against spirituality, not against somebody. Always absolutely impersonal. It loathes the brightness of divine glory. So I think this should be proof enough that we see that as we go out into the world with our vision, with a new vision, that we are not amazed, that we don't stand aghast at what the serpent will tell us. But also, it shows us the responsibility for the idea. I always feel that, you know, that's the beauty of the pioneer time. So often when one looks back, one always feels that pioneer times are the most beautiful time, the strongest time, because in a pioneer period everybody is aware that we are few, that we are not many mighties, that we are just a few, that we are perhaps still weak and not yet strong, and then each one feels responsible for the idea. Then each one puts everything to the idea and each one protects that idea against everything. And that is a sense of the motherhood. And that pioneering consciousness should never get lost with us. That's always the biggest danger, that when an idea becomes bigger and more popular, more well-known, that it loses that wonderful pioneering spirit, which can only survive with the motherhood sense. What does that motherhood sense say? Okay, let's be frank. We are small. We are very small. We are only a few. But the idea is big. It's enormously big. We know that. So let's be careful that this idea is not being hurt by animal magnetism, by the dragon. And the idea could never be hurt if we are aware that the attack is only against the idea, not against people. Therefore that we keep that idea warm and tender and don't let anything be put on anybody. We are all not angels. We are all humans. So don't let put the dragon put forward its sting towards a person, towards the character of students, to people. Let people do what they like to do. They come out of it gently and nicely in the right way. We don't have to worry about that. Protect those. Protect each other. Don't run each other down. Protect each other. And see that the idea is kept pure. Then there is a chance that the idea can go forward. But if we let the dragon drag us down in a personal way and say that evil is a person, it's a place, it's a thing, that evil is students, that evil is a place, a summer school, that evil is a thing, books and tapes and I don't know what. If we let that happen, we destroy the idea. And we are responsible for it, that it will be destroyed. In the pioneering time, this is the most beautiful time, because everything is directed towards the safety of the idea, the immaculateness of the idea, and it's free from people. So don't criticize each other. Everybody can be criticized. You find in everybody something that is not top. Everybody, not one that is sitting here is so top that he is like an angel. If we do that, we destroy the idea. We don't destroy the people, we destroy the idea. Let's remember that. Huh? That's why Mrs. Eddy put this thing in here. Why did she put it here? After that rebellion of the people, of the student, she wrote that chapter. She said, this is the way how this idea will be destroyed, and therefore she thought, I have to state that and state that, if we want to destroy the idea, we just have to destroy the revelator or the people, the exponents of that idea. Every student that is an exponent of that idea. Every student says, I study this idea. So we can destroy that idea by destroying the people, by talking nonsense about people, by criticizing the students, by running them down, by I don't know what. You know, that's the beauty of Christian Science, that the divine idea comes into the human and can grow in the human in spite of the human, not because of the human. In spite of the human. There is nothing more beautiful than to sit down and be alone with God and the reality of being and contemplate what is principle. What does principle want to do with me? And to sit there and see the beauty and to see that is going on in spite that I am a stinker. That the divine idea does not work through the stinker. It works through itself, and by lifting up that idea, it begins to heal that which stinks. Not the other way around. All the rest is religion. All the rest is religion. So that's the serpent that comes up. Then she goes on and says, to a divine sense, she says, harmony is real and discord a person. You're not even. No, she doesn't say a person. Huh? Yeah. And discord unreal. Huh? Why should we stand aghast at nothingness? The revelator sees the nothingness of evil and the allness of good. That's Christianity. to trace everything that is good back to God, and everything that evil, trace it back to nothing and not to people. If we trace it back to people, we will be lost. And it's right to be lost, because that wouldn't bring us anywhere. So, he goes on and says, well, how do we deal with this serpent? It will sink its perpetrator into a night without a star. Says, how are we going to deal with the serpent? Says, let him destroy himself. It will sink himself right down to a night without a star. By defying immortal mind, the false claim of mind in matter uncovers its own crime. Can you see? The serpent destroys itself. He uncovers his own crime. It doesn't say you have to fight him, but it says Jesus opened not his mouth, and that is put in italics. Apparently she meant something important with that. Apparently she meant that which we really need to do more and more. As metaphysicians, we think we have to argue with the other one, that we have to argue out with our opponents, that they are right and we are naturally, that they are wrong and we are naturally right. Don't do that. We are not so sure that we are right. We are not God. Let the divine idea always tell what is right and wrong. And for that we don't have to argue, we don't have to open our mouth. We can stay with the divine idea, and the divine idea is operating. And the divine idea is always operating in the right way. So it operates in us as well as in our opponents. In both ways. And so that which is wrong is going to destroy itself. We are not going to destroy it. That's why so many Christian Scientists don't go along with us, because we don't fight Boston. I don't fight Boston. I'm not going to fight Boston. I'm not going to fight anybody, if possible. There's nothing in it to fight somebody. It's making a reality of something that is unreal.